The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
If you wake up every morning and you're reading from a script for your life, and that script says, you can't do this, you don't have what it takes, or you don't need any help, God just wants you to be happy today. If you read from a script like that, you're gonna give up, you're gonna quit.
When you're hanging by a thread, losing faith, and short on strength, best-selling author Kyle Idleman says, don't give up. Next on Life Today.
We've got a guest back I've really come to love. He kind of thinks this is his part of his expanded ministry of television. Kyle Idleman is here, and his former pastor, Dave Stone, one of the men I admire about as much as anybody on the planet. I'm James Robinson, by the way. This is not Betty. Betty has a very bad cough, so Randy said I'll stand in for the week, and this is our son, Randy. And you see him with Sheila Walsh, and they are just incredible in exalting Jesus. But Kyle Idleman came in as a teaching leader. We didn't call him really necessarily teaching pastor. He's a young man that's teaching, and Dave said he's really remarkable. And he wrote this book that he wanted to come and talk to us about. It's called Don't Give Up. Faith that gives you the confidence to keep believing and the courage to keep going. Okay, I want you to welcome the author and the pastor now. Tell me, welcome Kyle Idleman to Life Today.
Would you, Kyle? Thank you.
I'm so glad you're back.
Thank you.
What's the name of the church now? What's it called?
Southeast Christian Church.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So that's been pretty much the term. And Christian church meant like it's part of a Christian group.
Yeah, it's a non-denominational church, so a lot of different backgrounds represented there, but Jesus is the foundation.
But you're actually Christians, right?
That's right.
How unusual for a religious church to be Christians. And that's what you really want.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Listen, I love your former pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I love the man who discipled and loved you and saw
me too.
Your potential.
Yeah.
Probably saw your potential before you did.
Yeah.
And he helped
fan
it. And we tried to encourage. Okay, let's cut to the chase. Don't give up. Why'd you write this book?
You know, as a pastor, I have talked to, like you, thousands of people in all kinds of situations. And I usually, after those pastoral conversations, I'll pull out my phone and I'll write down just a couple notes about that conversation. You know, what that person is going through, how I prayed for them, how I encouraged them, just as a reminder to me. And in 2017, at the end of that year, I went through all of those notes and just started noticing a very clear thread that it didn't matter what the situation was, right? It could be family, could be financial, it could be a spiritual crisis, a faith crisis of some kind, certainly suffering. But what every person really needed was this courage to not give up. And not as a trite comment of, hey, don't give up, where you try to psych yourself up with positive self-talk and you look in the mirror while Eye of the Tiger is playing in the background. You know, I can do it, because that gets exposed. Life will show you that you need more than that. But a don't give up that is based in faith, not confidence in ourselves or our strength, but confidence in God, confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I've just seen this as a pastor too often when people are struggling and they feel like giving up, we are quick to put an arm around them and comfort them, but what people often need is courage. They don't necessarily always need someone to say, I'm so sorry for what you're going through. Sometimes what we need is someone to say, hey, get back in the game. This is not the time to step away. This is the time to step in.
Don't you think when they fail and they, let's say, get knocked down or they stumble, that they oftentimes get disheartened, and a lot of times their discouragement is over their own inadequacy and failure, and that adds to the tendency to give up, to quit, because the accuser is telling them how really rotten they are, and they already feel rotten, that they can't seem to have a good relationship or even a meaningful, positive conversation
right.
That goes forward. It just looks like it turns into, you know, contention, and they have a tendency to give up because they feel beat down. They feel ineffective or inadequate, and they kind of tend to check out. And once you get knocked down and stay down, you're pretty well finished.
Yeah.
And did you find them buying into that? And so you decided to take off and address it, because I'm going to go over some of these titles, and I know you're going to want to camp on some of them. But what it looks like is that you laid out a plan to say, I'm getting up. I don't care how I got down.
That's right.
I don't care if it was me. I don't care if it was her, them, him, circumstance, whatever. I'm down. And you're saying, that's not where you stay.
Right.
Nobody wins staying there, right?
That's right. And, you know, if you look at the Bible, there is a lot of examples of language like be strong, don't give up, don't quit. Galatians 6:9 says, if you don't quit, in due time you'll reap a harvest. It doesn't give a date on that, like in due time, it doesn't give you something you can circle on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
But in due time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. And so, you know, my experience is that usually you can trace giving up to either fatigue or just tired or failure. You've blown it and you think, oh, it's too late for me now. And so, you know, God's grace gives us the ability to get up after failure, and God's strength and power gives us the ability to get up when we're tired and worn out.
Don't you think he's giving us a charge to give up? You kind of referenced some of those. You know, when Paul was writing Timothy, and in these really intense days, be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Ephesians, he said, suit up in an armor, like you're going to battle against forces that are even unseen.
And then I go through Hebrews 12, where it uses the metaphor of running a race and says, you know, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race with perseverance. And it says the race marked out for us. So my race and your race, they may be different, but they're all going to have obstacles. We run the race marked out for us with perseverance.
Randy, what do you think about when you, I know you have great respect, admiration, appreciation for him. I know you're a writer.
Yeah.
You recognize really effective writing. What goes on in your mind when you just look at what Kyle is sharing and saying?
Well, I love what he's saying. And, you know, there's a proverb that basically says success or failure is not measured by how many times you're knocked down, but how many times you get up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And I'm curious, though, about the title. You touched on this a minute ago. When you say don't give up, the world would kind of, maybe that would imply don't give up on yourself.
Right.
But are you saying a little more? Because sometimes we need to give up on ourselves in submission to God in order to succeed, you know.
Yeah,
that's the secret, right?
We need to surrender ourselves so that we can find his strength so that we won't give up. And yeah, that's why it has to be rooted in faith. As a pastor, a number of years ago, I think probably 4 or 5 years ago, I got a call to come to the hospital because we had a young couple in our church who went in to have their firstborn. And the family had been called together. It was going to be a great celebration, but the baby was stillborn. And I went in to the hospital to visit them and try to encourage them. And the first room I went into, the mother was lying in the bed surrounded by some family and friends. And I was pointed to the room next door where the father was in a rocking chair, you know, holding the lifeless body of his baby girl, wrapped up in a blanket, in a rocking chair, saying goodbye. And as you know, there's just no words to say in those moments. And I sat with him for a few minutes, and I knelt down to pray for him. And as I was praying, in the room next door where the mother, wife was with some of the family, I started to hear them singing, How Great Is Our God. And I sat there, and my ears couldn't quite make sense of it. And they sang it with more conviction. I don't think they knew the verses, because they just kept singing the chorus, How Great Is Our God, How Great Is Our God, How Great Is Our God. And I was struck by the difference faith makes in not giving up. You can't talk yourself into that.
Yeah.
That doesn't come from an inner strength. That comes from spiritual strength. That is God-given power in a desperate moment. I walked out of the hospital room to give the family some time, and there were three nurses standing in the hallway, and they you could see in their eyes that two of them were not sure what to make of the whole thing, right? But there was one of them who had this look on her face, and we looked at each other, and she knew that I knew, and I knew that she knew, because that's God's power. That's not something you can explain of human will.
Well, we have a person living in us that you can't keep down. He won't drown. Mm-hmm. He walks on the water. The grave can't hold him.
That's right.
Death can't hold him. There's no power of the enemy that can hold him down. Yeah. That power lives in us. So when we say don't give up, that's a charge. Don't stay down. Don't let the enemy put his foot on your neck. Put yours on him. Walk over him like dust and like serpents. You can do that. I give you that authority and that power. And so what you're telling people to do right here is keep believing, keep fighting, keep perspective. But then you touch on some things, and you talk about throw off weights. You say throw off anxiety and be unleashed from lies and untangled from unbelief. Touch on those a little bit.
Well, some of this comes from Hebrews 12, where it says to run this race with perseverance and let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And that word for hinders is any kind of weight, just any kind of weight. And so I've noticed culturally that a weight that keeps a lot of us back and holds a lot of us down is anxiety, that we have a hard time moving forward. We're more likely to give up when we are overwhelmed by just the anxieties of life. I think this culturally is an epidemic. I've seen this in our church where I preach. It's a big deal. So one of the things that I talk about in that book is learning, as Peter says, to cast your anxieties on God, not to carry a weight that he wants to carry for you. And one of the most significant pieces of this is learning how to pray in such a way that gives you perseverance, where it's not to deny that life is hard, right? Like, that's not faith. Faith isn't believing that you know, everything is going to work out the way I want it to. Faith is a confidence in who God is and his faithfulness. And so if I can pray that way, if I can pray with the determination of Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 that says, hey, we are crushed. We are. Or we're pressed, but we are not crushed. We are knocked down, but we are not destroyed. If I can pray with that kind of confidence, the anxiety will go away. So I've learned to pray with people in such a way that they don't spend all of their prayers telling God about their anxiety. Because that's what happens. I'm going through this difficult time, and my whole prayer is about how difficult my life is, how hard my circumstances are. And I get done praying, and I feel more anxious and overwhelmed than I did before. And if you study the Psalms, you'll see this switch that David will flip the script in his prayers. He starts by telling God about his anxieties, and then he starts to tell his anxieties about God. Mm. And the focus is not on how hard everything is, but on how big God is. Mm. And I've just learned that if we can teach people to pray that way, perseverance, endurance, and strength will start to come.
Bigger than every mountain.
That's right.
Able to lift us out of every valley and can literally comfort us. And you say be unleashed from the lies. What lies?
So as a pastor, when I talk to people about not giving up, I've just learned that oftentimes there is a lie that they have believed, and as long as they believe that lie, they're not going to be able to endure. And so if you wake up every morning and you're reading from a script for your life, and that script says, you can't do this, you don't have what it takes, or you don't need any help, or, you know, you... God just wants you to be happy today. If you read from a script like that, you're going to give up. You're going to quit. And so if you can identify a lie, so here's the person, if I could be personal about this for a moment. I struggled maybe 4 or 5 years ago in ministry because I was believing a lie that I didn't need help, that I should have the answers. I should be strong enough. I shouldn't ask people for help because people came to me for help. And I was tired and worn out. People were bothering me when I used to love those same people. And I needed to recognize the lie that I was believing when I said, I don't need help. I did need help. And one of the most spiritually significant moments for me is when I realized if I ask somebody for help, a lot of times they'll help me. If I say to someone, I don't really know what I'm doing as a husband, as a father, I'm not sure what to do about this situation. Will you help me? Yeah. Yeah, I will help you. And I could have been helped a long time before if I would have humbled myself enough to say, will you help me? But I was believing a lie that I shouldn't need help.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if the church would see how much we need to move like a committed, connected, healthy body submitted to the one head, Jesus, and his heart. Mm-hmm. I sense that when you're talking about not giving up, you're talking about suiting up in an armor, mm-hmm. recognizing that we have more than a conqueror living in us, therefore we can be more than conquerors, mm-hmm. submitted to that power. I feel like as a pastor, teacher, leader, you're taking people through a simple journey to learn how to suit up.
That's right.
So that they don't have to live downtrodden, beat down, trampled on by the enemy, but live as overcomers. Is that your goal?
That's right. And that faith is what makes all the difference. Like, perseverance and endurance should come to Christians in a way that no one else can really experience because of the faith we have. When I was a kid, I would go to my grandmother's house, and she would keep her puzzles in a Ziploc bag. I'm not sure why. I think she would have said it had something to do with the Great Depression, but I didn't know what that meant. But anyway, she would work these puzzles, and she'd leave them out, and then when she was done, she'd put them in a Ziploc bag instead of a box. And as a kid, we didn't have anything to do at her house, and so we'd get these Ziploc bag puzzles, and we dump them out on the table, and we try to work these puzzles, but trying to put together a puzzle when you don't have a picture on the box is really difficult. So, like, you force some pieces together, but you don't know what the picture is. You don't know if it's like a skyline of Chicago or if it's like, three cats with that look of entitlement that cats have. You don't know what's that picture is. And so we'd work at it, and then we'd always quit. I never finished a Ziploc bag puzzle because I never had the picture. So faith allows us to say, I'm going to keep at this. I'm going to keep working at this because there is a picture. God knows what the picture is. I'm trusting that his picture is better than the picture I've got in my mind. So I'm not going to zip this up and put it away. I'm going to stick with it. And so when we are living in faith, when we're living with the confidence that God knows the picture on the box, it allows us to keep with it even when a lot of those pieces don't make sense. Faith is what makes the difference.
Don't you appreciate a pastor that shares so simply powerful, transforming truths? And I just want you to know the book's in the bookstores. Kyle will be a blessing to you. Kyle, I know that you and I know your church family and so many of the people in your church, they love our outreaches for Christ to the least of these, to people too often overlooked. Our viewers don't overlook. I want you to listen to our missionary overseer. He said goodbye to his wife not quite a year ago. But he's spending his life trying to save the lives of those who are too often not noticed. I want you to listen to him share about the needs of others, that we can immediately cure and become the miracle their heart longs for. Listen to the heart of God through this missionary overseer in behalf of others.
I'm kneeling here next to a little grave. Little boy's name was Pana. Barely made it past his second birthday, I believe. Pana died just simply from drinking contaminated water here in his village, but the water that should have given life literally killed him.
យើង ឆ្ងាយ ទឹក ហើយ អត់ មាន អី ដឹក អី ចឹង ណា ប្រើ ប្រាស់ ដល់ ពេល យើង ប្រើ ទឹក ហ្នឹង ទៅ គឺ ទឹក វា អត់ ស្អាត អត់ ស្អាត ម្ដាល មក ពី កូន យើង ហូប ទឹក ហ្នឹង ទៅ វា ឈឺ កាពះ ពោះវៀន នេះ ចឹង ទៅ
Millions of families around the world continue day after day trekking great distances to collect water from contaminated sources because it is their only option for survival. Approximately 1 in 10 people on earth live without clean water, resulting in over 400,000 deaths a year from drinking water that is unsafe.
But this story doesn't just happen in Cambodia. You can let this story be symbolic of people all over the world who drink contaminated water every day. That's why at Life Outreach, we drill wells all over the world, globally, all year, every year. Because people like Pana, little children, mothers, fathers, they're believing or hoping it'll give them life, but it actually takes their life. So please give that gift today so that we can tell families the water that you're drinking is not there to take your life, it's there to give you life.
That's a very significant picture right there, that you, that grave, that's a precious life, it's gone. And we have the perfect cure for it. It's not just a cup of water, but a well of water. You've helped, people like you, drill 6,000. And we just need the help of all of our viewers if they could realize that people watching us right now are the miracle mm-hmm. that stops that death cycle.
Yeah, you recently, actually a relative of yours handed me a check for the water, right?
A water well.
And I don't normally open those. I send them to the right department and let them handle it appropriately. But he texted me later and said, did you see it? And I said, no, I don't normally do that. And he said, well, open it. And I said, all right, you know. So I opened it up. It was enough for a well.
Yep.
So there's one. We need more. But he was excited to do it, which
yes, he was.
I love the enthusiasm. But I texted him back and I said, man, you're just going to have to take my word for it. I wish you could see it, but that well will change everything for a lot of people, for a long time, a lifetime for many of them. It will change everything. And that's what I wish you could see. I've been there. I've seen it. I've been where there's not a well. There needs to be a well. I've knelt by the graves of too many children. But I've seen what putting that source of life right there where they live every day does for them. It changes everything. And I wish everybody could feel the excitement that my cousin felt yeah. in providing that well.
And that's what people tell us. They say, we don't have a greater joy than giving a well or even part of a well. And it's amazing that the wells are $4,800, and that check was for $5,000.
Yes, it was.
Because you texted me and told me. Mm-hmm. And I texted him to say,
I got excited. I get excited every time we're able to drill another well.
Really, he's a young man. For him, it was a big step. Mm. But people tell us what it means. And yet people also say, I'm able to help you drill a well.
Yeah.
And most of the support comes in $48 chunks, which gives 10 people water. Don't ever look and say, because the well's $4,800, you know, if I could do it. A lot of people say, I make it a prayer goal every year to do it. And they're able to do it. They found God miraculously letting them do it. But the $4,800 or the $144 that gives 30 people water the rest of their life, there's a level at which you can become the miracle in someone's life. And we not only give them water for life, we tell them about the water of life, Jesus. And when they've seen love and they've experienced the effect of love giving them life, they're ready to hear about the source of that love and that life that's eternal. Thank you for what you're doing. Would you right now go online, please, the website, or dial that number that's a prayer line, and right now you just turn it into a lifeline, a miracle lifeline. Take your bank card. Go get it. Use it like a check. If you think you're going to forget that number, write it down, but call it. And make the best gift you can right now. If you can give a well or part of a well, do it. We have some gifts to send you that I promise you will bless you. We want to bless you, but you're giving people life because of the life in Christ. Thank you right now for making that call. Thank you for making the gift.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, disease-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life is the answer to a mother's prayer to save the lives of her children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime.
With your gift, we'll send you Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. In her new book, Sheila Wall shows you how to reignite your conversation with God to become a strong praying woman. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Power of Prayer Bundle. This bundle includes a cozy throw blanket adorned with words of the Lord's Prayer, a decorative pillow cover, as well as Sheila's book. All three are encouraging reminders of how there's power in your faith-filled prayers. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This hand-dug well is full of contaminated water. It's the only source of water for this village. The mothers and their children, they come out here every day with their buckets and they gather water. And the mothers know there's a potential that this water will kill their children because there's all sorts of, you know, animal dung in here. Someone told me that snakes get in here. Mosquitoes lay their eggs, and so many of the children in the village have malaria. I just talked to a mom who lost her 12-year-old son because of malaria. But this is the water that is killing these children. And that is why they need a well, a drilled well that will go down deep and give fresh, clean water. This should not be normal for any child. And we want to give them a new normal in Jesus' name. Fresh, clean, safe water.
Well, I appreciate Randy standing in for Betty. Pray for her. She will get over this cough and be back at my side. And thank you for loving her like I know you do. If you'd like to have Kyle Eidelman's book, Don't Give Up, I promise you he's an effective communicator with his pen. And be happy to send you. Say, James, if we give water or we help, would you send us the book as a gift? Yes, we will. Would you join Randy and me in saying thanks to Kyle Eidelman?
Thank you.
Bless you, bless the church. Thank all of you for being here. Thank you for watching. Thanks for helping us share the life and love of God.
On record as saying, that's my son and my daughter, and here's how much I love them.
Louis Giglio, next week on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.